Well, you can see on the screen behind me, we're in week three of our five-week series called Family Revolutions, where we're not just looking at the resolutions that are made, but we're looking to transform those issues through God's Word so that we will have personal and family revolutions in our lives. And this week, we're on what I've entitled the service to be, Chill Out. You know, we've looked at everything from money and finances to procrastination. This week, we're going to look at two things, patience and relaxing. Now, it's kind of an odd mix because last week, you'll remember, we looked at what it takes to get off our duff and really get going. We really encapsulated the issue of carpe diem, of seize the day. And we saw that, you know what, we've got to reach out and just take life as God would lay it out before us, to live it and to just consume it, not allow life to just pass us by. This week, I want to show you the other side of that same coin. It's entitled Chill Out. We're going to look at number 5 and number 6 of the top 10 U.S. resolutions. Number 5 is patience. How many of us can say, you know what, I can appreciate this. I have on many occasions looked up and thought, you know, I could really use the addition of some patience in my life. Hopefully none of us are too spiritual to admit that. I can tell you firsthand this is a challenge for me. I am a type A person wrapped in a jovial disposition. Whatever I see, I can't help but look at it and think we can do that better. I'm always looking for and pressing into how to improve it. You know, self-improvement, continuous improvement. It's a part of my personal DNA. As a parent, I'm constantly looking and expecting more from our children. As a pastor, I'm constantly trying to get us to the next step as a church. I wouldn't argue with the fact that I could use more patience. And I pray that that today we'll take a look at patience in a new way. It's helped me as I prepared for the week, and I pray it will bless you as well as we go through. Then we're going to move on to relax. How many of you can say going into the holidays, as you turn the corner on Thanksgiving and we're staring Christmas and New Year's in the face, how many of you could say that, you know, in that window, that month or 5 weeks, you probably could have been well served by a little more relaxing and peaceful time? You know, it doesn't make sense when you think of what it's all about. This is the time of the year when we're supposed to be enjoying life the most. And the reality is we tend to get a little hurried. And we all tend to look and say, you know what, I would love to be able to relax a little bit more. Well, we're going to take a look at that as well. And we're going to do it through a different perspective. I want to show you a couple of things. But here's what I want to start with. Think of these two things together, patience and relaxing. And I'm going to show you that really, more than relaxing, it's an issue of peace. I want you to think of those two things in the context of everyday life, because you know what I have found is that in the real world, it's one thing to say, oh yes, I'm going to be more patient. Oh yes, I'm going to carve out more time to relax. And something fills it. It's like a vacuum. Our lives are almost living paradoxes, if you think about it. You know, the more we do to get towards something, an awful lot of the time, the further away from the true goal we become. I want you to take a look at this video that puts that into context and tell me if this doesn't relate to your life and to my life and to those that we know. This is paradox.
This is the paradox of our time.
We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers, wider freeways,
but narrower viewpoints. We spend more,
but have less. We buy more,
but enjoy it less.
We have bigger houses,
but smaller families,
more conveniences,
but less time, but less time.
Less time.
More channels,
but nothing worth watching.
We've earned more degrees,
but lost our common sense.
We have more knowledge,
but less discernment. There are more experts, but more problems.
More health magazines,
but less wellness.
This is a time when we choose any religion that fits our personality,
but deny the God who gave us one. We have multiplied our possessions and reduced our values.
We talk too much, love self, and hate too often.
We've learned how to make a living,
but not a life.
We conquered outer space.
But not inner space.
This is the paradox.
This is the paradox of our time.
We cleaned up the air, but polluted our minds. We split the atom, but not our prejudice.
We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies, to pass around to more people, if we have less communication.
We've learned to rush,
but not to wait.
And under the magnificence,
of a starry night,
we applaud the design.
And
ignore the designer.
We're in the season of hurried vacations, preoccupied minds, quick trips and fast food. We have fancier houses, but broken homes.
This is the paradox. Steeper profits and shallower relationships. You found your truth, but lost soul.
This is indeed a time when we place more value on success than on significance.
This
is the paradox of our time.
Can anybody relate? Does that ring true to anybody else's life than just mine? I want us to take a look at patience and peace this morning. Thank you for the witness, girls. Patience and peace, both lacking so much in the context of our lives. What is patience? Because I want to show you that it's not just how we define it, but it's the origin of patience. It's the true spirit of patience that we need to get to. Webster defines patience this way. He says, patience is tolerating delay, provocation, annoyance, etc., without complaint or anger. Now, I'm going to say to you that the patience that we're interested in is not that patience. You see, the way Webster defines patience, tolerating, it's having control over your emotions. It's being able to have self-control, is what they would call it. Holding back the anger that is in there. Now, I would say to you that we're going to take a look at God's Word on patience. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 14 and look at the first half of verse 29. Where God says that a patient man has understanding. We're going to kind of unpack that this morning, because I want you to know that if you've got God's patience, you haven't learned to put a lid on your anger. Your want to will change. It's not that you're able to squelch the anger. It's that the anger won't be there. And believe me, it's a world of difference. I speak from experience. You know, Proverbs 14:29, where it says that a patient man has great understanding. What God's Word is telling us is those are the people that get it. When you're patient, when you've got God's patience, you get it. Get what, Jeff? You get God's plan. You understand the big picture. You've got the spirit of patience. Spirit, an acronym, S-P-I-R-I-T. You'll understand, and we're going to take a look at that right now. You're going to understand the source of patience. You're going to understand the personality of patience. You're going to understand that we've got a real world out here, and we've got to live with the incidentals of life that will apply your patience. We'll look at the reason for patience, the inspiration for patience. And then I was torn on the T to go between timing or treasure. So I'll simply tell you that. It's both. We'll take a look and see God's reference to the timing and the treasure associated with the root of patience. Let me first tell you this. I want to share with you some quotes on patience that stuck out to me this week as I was preparing the message. Patience. Patience is the companion of wisdom. St. Augustine said that a long time ago. But you know what? That'll carry. Patience is the companion of wisdom. Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. How many of us know that? Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. That's an old French proverb. There is no place for faith if we expect God to fulfill immediately what he promises. John Calvin. Waiting patiently in expectation is the foundation of spiritual life. How about this? He who possesses patience possesses himself. Lastly, simply waiting on him, we shall be directed, supplied, protected, corrected, and rewarded as Christians. That's Christian patience. That's what it's all about. When we look at the spirit of patience, I'm going to walk you through your Bible this morning. If you've got your Bible, I'd encourage you to come with me. In your bulletin, I've given you this outline, S-P-I-R-I-T. We're going to fill those in. The source, the personality, the incidentals, the reason, the inspiration, and the timing or treasure. And I'm going to give you a scripture reference that you can write in your bulletin. Keep this with you. This will help you at points where you feel like the boiling is about to come over. Remember the spirit of patience. First, let's take a look at this. S, the source. I'm going to take you to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Here we say, and by the way, peace is included here. The fruit of the Spirit is, amongst other things, patience. What's the source of true Christian patience? The difference between putting a lid on your anger and the elimination of that anger? What's the difference? The difference is at the source. When you've got Christian patience, this is a gift. The gift of God. One of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about this when we went through our last series. The fruit of the Spirit. Every time somebody becomes a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes inside you, brings all of the glory of that Spirit, which we describe as the fruit of the Spirit. One of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. If you're a Christian, I want you to know that you have power over your anger. If you're a Christian, you have power over your impatience. Now, we don't always apply it, and I'm the first one to stand up and tell you. I need to remember this verse. But I want you to understand that if you've got Christ in your life, if you've got a personal relationship with Jesus, you don't need to figure out how to overcome your anger. You need to remember that you've got the source of divine patience inside you already. How about the personality of patience? The personality of patience in 1 Corinthians 13. Some of you will recognize that chapter as the love chapter of the Bible. You know what we see? First, right off the top, as God's word defines love, in chapter 13, verse 4, where Paul gets to the point where he says, love is. Do you know what the first characteristic of love is that he describes? He says, love is patient. The personality of our patience should be love. Not, and again, I feel like I'm a before picture here, but how about this? Yeah. Kidding yourself that you're being patient. Come on, I'm waiting. And because we haven't blown up, we think we're patient. How many times have I got to tell you? This has got to be the fifth time that we've been over this. These are my quotes. The personality of divine patience is love. There's a world of difference between and let's go and being able to say, I care more about reflecting Jesus to you and others in this moment. I care more about you than I do about what it is that's got me irritated because I love you. Now, we say that at home in our families. Can you say it in traffic? Ouch. Can you say it when the temptation is to hit the horn and throw the hand gesture up? Because you may not know that person, but what if God wanted you to sow the first seed of showing them a reflection of Christ? So when they cut you off and you're like, it's okay. They're like, what? That might be the first seed. So in all times, the personality of our patience. Again, not this idea of squelching and putting a lid on our anger, as Webster would say. But as God's word says, change the want to eliminate the anger because you've got the source in you. You've got the gift. And because you want to reflect love. You want to reflect the personality of Jesus. Okay, how about the incidentals. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Let me take you there. This one is the reality check. And some of you have heard me say this before. One of the things I love about God's word is it's just so gritty and so real. Listen to this verse, Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Be patient in affliction. Now, that's not saying in the event that something should happen. What we're being told is, look, it's coming. The storms, they're real. You're going to have them, whether we like it or not. You can't, in the real world, avoid affliction, trouble, anger, adversaries. You know, you could be minding your own business in today's world, and somebody walk up on you and bring all kinds of grief. Paul says, look, your patience is not only applicable to when you're clearly right and somebody else is clearly wrong. When you're in affliction of any kind, we need to apply our patience. It's why it's important to understand we already have it in us. We've been told what it's to look like. Now we see that, you know what? In the real world, you're going to have application. Affliction is coming. It's critical that we remember that and apply it. How about when we look at the reason? 2 Peter 3, chapter 9. This might be the most important verse of this morning. I want you to hear this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Here we see that the reason for patience is tied back to Jesus. This is one of the most beautiful verses in Scripture. Hear this as you see what it's all about. Here's the verse. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Now, what Peter's talking to here is there were people in that day saying, you don't really believe in that Jesus guy, do you? All this coming back Messiah stuff. If that were real, he'd already have been here. So how many of us have ever been in a situation where somebody has just totally dismissed your faith in Christianity? Because you know what? People have been saying that for 2,000 years. Give me a break, will you? If he were real, it would have already happened. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The ultimate reason for patience, as it was brought into the world by Christ, was to give us a chance to come to him, that none should end up perishing in hell. Why is it that Jesus hasn't come back yet? It's his timing, it's his plan, but the Bible tells us right here, it's because he doesn't want anybody to miss out on receiving this gift of grace. How does that apply to us? What happens if you lose your temper with somebody? Let's say, and I had this happen to me in my previous life, I had one of those automotive traffic scenarios. And I didn't reflect Christ. And do you know that about 40 minutes later, I was right next to the person in line at a grocery store? I didn't show the patience of Christ. And I didn't have the opportunity to, you know, can you imagine? Hey, I know you. How about coming to my church? Jesus loves you and so do I. Yeah, right. Get out of my face, you hypocrite. I don't want whatever it is you're selling. I saw what's inside of you, pal. Jesus tells us that our patience, like his, in many times is designed to give us an opportunity to witness, to sow into somebody's life the love of Christ. He tells us that the reason why he hasn't come yet is to show his great patience, because he doesn't want anybody to perish. We need to have that exact same heart and attitude. All right, how about as we move on now? The inspiration, I want you to look at 1 Timothy 1:16. Here it is. Jesus himself is our inspiration. Let me show you what he says as he reflects the heart of genuine patience. Here it is. This is what we're to model. 1 Timothy 1:16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners. This is Paul writing. He's saying, you know what? God chose me. You don't understand. I was the guy out killing all the Christians. I had made it my personal life's mission to wipe the Christians off the face of the map, and I was good at it. I was number one enemy to all of Christianity. And look, God picked me. Me, of all people. All those good, lily white, nice folks. And he passed them by and he picked me. It would be comparable to Osama bin Laden. Okay? Put it in that. Imagine, it blows your mind. The worst of the worst of the worst, who was doing just unbelievable things to literally kill and destroy the church. Paul says, let me tell you about Jesus' patience. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. The inspiration for our patience is Jesus himself. Paul says, I was the worst of the worst of the worst, and he brought his mercy and grace to me. Not because I hit the spiritual lottery. We know why. He tells us right here. So that Jesus could give an example of his unlimited patience. As an example for all of us who would receive his gift of grace and be his children. What a powerful inspiration. Unlimited. How much patience are we to have? And I'll tell you what, I'd point at you with this, only because it puts three fingers back at me. This applies to all of us. Unlimited patience, as given to us through the example of Jesus and Paul. Now, I want to finish this spirit of patience by showing you Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. This is the timing of the treasure of why. Let me read to you this verse. It says this, since you have kept my command, because you've obeyed. Since you have kept my command, to do what? To endure patiently. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you. Because you obeyed and you lived out my patience. Not Webster's stick a lid on it and hold back your anger. You changed your want to through the source of my gift. Expressed through the personality of love. Throughout the incidentals of life. For the reason of helping others not to perish. Remembering always the inspiration of Christ. And his limited, unlimited patience. Because of that, because you kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I want you to understand the spirit of patience. It's not Webster's, it's not the world's being able to push down the anger so that nobody sees it. It's to take the spirit of God's patience through the source of the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the personality of love, throughout all of life's incidentals, for the reason of being a blessing to whomever you're not getting angry with, following the inspiration of Christ to receive your timeless treasure. That is Jesus saying to you, well done. I now will keep you as you have kept my command to be patient. Let me show you what this might look like in the context of our world again today. I want you to imagine that you're out there and Jesus is himself trying to reach you. He's trying to break through the defenses of your life. He's trying to break through the pride. He's trying to break through the anger. He's trying to break through the addictions. He's trying to break through the unforgiveness. And he's saying to you, I'm here. I want to help. Just let me in. I can do it. I'm here for you. Imagine if that were to happen through a series of phone calls. And you, my friends, are on the other side. And he's begging you to pick up the phone. Take a look at this.
Phone at the moment. If you leave a short message, I'll call you back as soon as I can. Thanks. Bye.
Hi there, it's me. Just calling to let you know that I'm really looking forward to talking with you. But I guess we'll catch up later. Bye. Hi there, it's me. I've just been thinking of you and, well, I've got something really exciting for you. It's going to change your life forever. It's the offer of a lifetime and I just can't wait to talk. Bye. Hi there, it's me. Hey, I saw what you did today, and I just had to call and say, way to go, I'm so proud of you. I'd love to help out next time. And I just thought you might be in, and I hope you're not screening your calls. Gee, I'd love to chat soon. Hey, and don't forget, my door's always open, so just come on by sometime. That'd be great. See ya, bye. Hi there, it's me. Hey, last time I was at your place, I noticed you had a copy of that book I wrote. Just wondered, have you read it yet? Well, what'd you think? I'd love to know and love to meet up and chat about it. So just give us a call sometime. Bye. Hi there, it's me. Hey, I saw you today and I tried to get your attention, but I guess you were just so absorbed with what you were doing. And I know you've got some troubles at the moment and you've got some questions. I just want you to know that I'm here for you and I can help you with the answers. Call me. Hi there, it's me. Look, I know it's tough, but you and I need to sort some things out and get them right. We need to talk. It concerns your future. Hey, and don't forget, I love you. Bye. Hey, did you check out the great sunrise this morning? I made it just for you. Your favourite colour. Oh, it was amazing. Hey, and check out the rainbow I'm going to put in your sky tomorrow afternoon. Let's say about 2:30. Check it out. See ya. Hi there, it's me. Hey, I know that you're going in for your appointment later today and thought it would be tough going, especially by yourself. Look, I'm available to come with you if you want. We could go together. You know that I'm always here. And I'm always ready to listen. Just call me any time. I'm always up all night anyway. See ya. Call me. Hi. It's me. I thought, well, seeing as today is your last day, look, we really do need to talk. It's now or never. I'm going to come by later and, yeah, I know that you'll be home. Bye.
The spirit of patience. Receive the gift and share it with others. From there, it should be easy for us to understand this point of what it means to relax. In Western civilization, in America, number 6 on everybody's top 10 resolutions is this year I've got to learn to relax a little more. I've got to carve out some more time to relax. You know, we're looking to relax when really what we need is the gift, G-I-F-T, of peace. How many of you can say, as I have said on many occasions, yeah, I've got to get away. I need most of the time a vacation to recover from my vacations. You know, I've got to carve away some time. I've got to get some relaxation in. I end up filling that vacuum with more stuff on most occasions than I would have done if I just kept along at my hurried pace. You see, it's not that we need a lazy boy and a remote. It's that we need inner peace. We need the gift of inner peace. And this morning I want to show you from God's Word. I want to take you through a part of Scripture where Jesus Himself, I believe, gives us the ingredients for divine peace. And I want to show it to you. I put it in your bulletin again as the acronym. I'm going to give you the word that goes with the G. We've got to go. I'm going to give you the word for I, which is that we've got to accept the intensities of life. The word for F, which is faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. And the word for T, which is together or trusting. And it pulls that all together. I want to show you through a passage that you can find this same experience covered in Matthew 8, Mark chapter 4, or Luke chapter 8. You see it from three of the apostles' different perspectives. But I want to read to you from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. Let me tell you what God's word says, and then I'll embellish on it here in just a minute. It says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, quote, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Jesus said, let's do it. So they got into the boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging water. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. We need peace. We don't need a lazy boy in a remote. We need inner peace. Where does inner peace come from? Well, I would say to you here, you've just heard where it comes from. Again, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It is a gift. Its source is from God and God alone. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't sneak away to it. True peace is something that comes from within. I can tell you firsthand again, there are many people who the world looks upon with envy and assumes, yeah, of course he's smiling. Anybody could smile with what they have. I want you to know that many a smile on the world's surface is a frown on the inside. There are many, many people that the world lifts up that we bury due to suicides because they have everything except God's peace. Now, this story, as it's told through the Bible, I want you to see a couple of things. First of all, these disciples were obeying what God told them to do, what Jesus himself said. So here's the point. You can do exactly what you're supposed to do. You can be exactly where you're supposed to be. You can be right alongside Jesus himself and be swamped by a storm in life. Whoa, 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 that doesn't make sense. Don't we always talk about, well, you know, what you need to do is get in God's will. The safest place to be in the world is God's will. Not so. The right place to be is in God's will. Safest in terms of your eternity, yes. Safest in terms of the here and now, you may be right smack dab in the middle of a storm. in the midst of God's will, obeying perfectly and with Jesus by your side. I want you to understand that God's peace is not only available in the absence of conflict. This is the beauty of peace versus relaxation. You can't relax in a storm. You can have God's peace through anything going on in your life. Huge difference. Huge, huge difference. One you want and one you don't. You know, why would you sell yourself out to the mere cheap imitation of relaxation when you know at the flick of a switch it can be taken from you? God's peace, you've got it. First of all, they were doing exactly what God told them to do. They were in the midst of His will in pure obedience, and the storm came. Understand, storms will come. You don't have an either or of storm or peace. You have both. The reality of the Bible says expect the storms, they're coming. God's people especially expect the storms. But they don't have to dissuade you or blow you off course. You have God's peace in and through the storm. Secondly, the intensity. The storm, we're told, was so intense that the boats were being swamped. And these men, at least a large portion of which were professional fishermen, were so afraid that they went and woke up Jesus and said, "Help, help." Now that would be like, Bob's a banker, okay? Bob's going out on a charter with the guys that we pray with on Monday mornings, all these professional watermen. Bob said, "Whew, this is early. You know, I don't normally do anything at 4 o'clock in the morning. Tell you what, you guys go ahead and get us out to the middle of the bay. I know it takes about an hour and a half. Wake me up around 5:30, I'll start fishing or crabbing or oystering with you." So Bob goes down into the bow of the boat and takes a nap. Can you imagine the watermen, these guys that have been on the water all their life, going and saying, "Bob, Bob, quick, get up, get up. The storm's so bad, I think we're swamped." What would it take for the watermen to go run and think that they need somebody else's help with the boat in the middle of a storm? I want you to know that this storm was intense. So when I tell you that you can have God's peace in the midst of the storm, I'm not just saying the speed bumps of life. This example shows in the most intense, professional fishermen scared to death that they were going to die. That's how intense. You can have God's peace. Why? Finally, Jesus tells us when he looks at them and he, after calming the storm, says, "Where's your faith? Where's your faith?" With your faith, you have God's peace at all times. Remember, we said peace, like patience, is listed as an attribute of the fruit of the Spirit. Once you're a Christian and the Holy Spirit lives inside you, you have the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to go find peace. You need to accept the peace that lives inside you by faith. And lastly, in this gift of peace, to go where God has called you to go. To accept the intensities of life, to do it by faith, and lastly, the T is to trust. You see, I can be a Christian by faith and lose sight of the fact that I need to trust God through the storm. If you will trust and pull all of this together, you'll have God's peace. Now, this week I learned an awful lot about both of these. The spirit of patience, to see the source of God's patience, to understand the personality of His patience, to see it through the incidentals of life, to be reminded of the reason, to be inspired through the aura and the glow of God's face, and to know the treasure of having God's patience. And then I saw the gift of peace this week as well. And I was reminded that when you are doing what God has called you to do, even in the midst of the worst storms that life can throw, that when you hold your faith and you trust in Him, His peace is with you. This week I spent my first ministerial time in a hospice situation. I was blessed to be contacted by one of you who was just being the real deal. Had a neighbor who we found out was being overtaken by cancer. And just connecting with a neighbor who was hurting, one thing led to another, and what was found out is that this family didn't have a church home at the moment. And one of you said, I have a church home, and we would love to pray for you. Is there anything we can do? He said, oh, no. No, thank you. He said, well, I'd like to pray for you. And if it would be all right, I'd like to ask my pastor to pray for you. And I've already talked with him, and he said if you'd let him, he'd come by. And I said, yes, thank you. And so this week, for the first time in my experiences, I went into a home of a family I'd never met that was really unknown to us as a church family. And I met a husband who was in the process of saying goodbye to his wife, and a wife who was saying goodbye to this world. I need you to know that as I walked in, I had great concern. I didn't know what to expect. And in those situations, please understand, if I'm called upon to join you or your family or a friend, it's not my place, in my opinion, to go in and simply coddle people. I'm going in to try to have one last chance to introduce somebody to their Lord and Savior and help them find their way home if they've not found it up to that point. And if they are a Christian, it's to celebrate a life lived and to remind those that are left behind that this person is going home. I want you to know I went in, and by God's grace, I was told as I hit the door that this was a Christian. That she was a Christian and she was going home. And that her husband was a Christian brother and understood that. And after four visits and a number of quiet moments, I want you to know that I was shown divine patience as his husband and father prepared, knowing what was coming and not liking it one bit, that they had God's patience as they waited for him to take her home. And I saw a peace, a divine peace, over this woman and in the eyes and the heart of this family as that time came and knowing that she had gone home. I sat with and prayed over a very frail and very challenged physical figure. And all I saw was a mighty warrior with a beauty that came from within, going home in one of the most peaceful and beautiful pictures I had ever seen. That's divine patience. That's divine peace. It's not pushing down the anger and holding it in. And it's not manipulating a situation to get an outcome that you want. It's a gift born from the source of the Holy Spirit. And it is available to each and every one of us. I want you to know that God's patience, the spirit of God's patience and the gift of God's peace knows no bounds. And it is available to you. If you are a Christian today, know that you have these gifts inside of you. Don't let the devil hold you down. And my friend, if you are not a child of God, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, amongst all the other blessings, I want you to know that these two gifts are here for you. If you will simply break through the pride, Break through the anger. Break through the unforgiveness. Break through the addictions. Break through whatever it is that is holding you back from receiving the gift of grace. Break through and answer the phone. Your one true, loving and living Savior wants you to break through and receive this gift of grace. I want to pray with you, and this week I want to do it differently. I've got a song that I want you to just sit and listen with. It's a 5-minute song. I ask you to get quiet with the Lord. Ask Him to help you to break through. Break through and receive this gift of grace. Let this song be your prayer.
Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that you grant us with peace and patience, Lord. Thank you that we can go to you in confidence, knowing that you freely grant those things to us, Father. Thank you so much for your love and for the way you provide. Lord, we just look forward to the rest of this new year, going on in your love and going on in your strength. And we just pray that you give us that strength to go on, to follow through with being a revolution, not just making a resolution that's going to fall by the wayside. So we thank you, Father. We lift you up. And as we leave this place, we just leave rejoicing and understanding that you are the one that grants peace and patience, Lord. We just thank you and all this in your name. Amen.